As we stand, let's pray. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Amen. Please take a seat. I wonder what your immediate emotional response was as you heard these words. Maybe you were soaring with the beauty of the poetry. Maybe you had a sense of deflation. How I fall short of that description. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We've heard this reading probably several times, probably at a wedding, and it's easy to see why. This is the kind of love we yearn for. This is how we want to be loved. Because that kind of love, if we experience it, will be heaven on earth. Lifelong bliss. To be loved like that. As I grew up, my parents gave me an experience of such selfless love. I was lucky. A solid foundation. Safety, identity. But of course, even the most wonderful parents, even my parents, fall short of that standard. They will occasionally, even just occasionally, be irritable. Love is not irritable. But then, I fall in love. My love is reciprocated. I put the name of the love of my life into this poem, and I dream of a perfect future. She is patient. She is kind. Yes, she is. She's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. How wonderful. But then I stop. Surely for our future to be perfect, she will write a poem that mirrors mine. Christoph does not insist on his own way. Christoph is not irritable or resentful. He bears all things, endures all things. And I become very uncomfortable. Because I know I fall short of this standard on most days. With other drivers on the road when I'm in a hurry and they just behave in a really silly way. With that faceless cold caller on the other end of the telephone. In my less charitable thoughts about someone who has been unkind. And even in my closest relationships, sometimes especially in my relationship with the person I love the most, why do we have the capacity to hurt those we love the most? Two hedgehogs trying to get close, but the closer they get, it seems they hurt one another with their spines. How can I expect to be loved like this when I seem to be unable to reciprocate that love? And yet when I read these lines, they speak to my deepest longings. So deep that they must have been put there by the God who made me. How can you give us a longing for such a perfect love, God, when we can never achieve it? Maybe I have to lower my expectations. Maybe we can love like this for a while, when the feelings are red hot, when we walk on air, when the happy hormones course through our system. And then when love goes, we accept it and move on. And we search for the next love, still secretly hoping it will be better and longer lasting than the first. Love, a series of emotional highs? Found it interesting when I meet with couples who are planning their wedding service. Some of them choose a song that's been a big hit over the last years, and they want that as a go out at the end of the service. You may have heard it. Sung by Bruno Mars, Marry You. Has anyone heard it? I think I'm gonna marry you. Something like that. And I say to them, have you listened to the words?
No.
Well, can you? And then you come back to me whether you still want it. Here are the words. It's a beautiful night. We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey, baby, I think I want to marry you. If we wake up and you want to break up, that's cool. No, I won't blame you. It was fun, girl. Wow. No one has ever said after they listen to the lyrics, we're still going to have that for our wedding. That can't be it, can it? This longing for love is deeper, is purer. So maybe we have to earn it. After all, everything worthwhile in this life has to be earned, right? Self-improvement, higher consciousness, transcendental meditation, 7 habits of loving people. Let's all try a bit harder, and we will create heaven on earth in our own strength. But we've tried so often. History is littered with such dreamers who ultimately failed because they couldn't live up to their own standards. In the end, I come to the personal conclusion, I cannot love like 1 Corinthians 13. I can't. What we need is someone who loves unconditionally and selflessly and consistently. Someone who is not subject to our human fickle emotions. And yet, someone we can relate to, who is not far away and distant. Someone like us, but not like us. I hear an echo, a memory, a verse from John's first letter. John, who has been called the Apostle of Love. We love because he loved us first. Who is this? Simeon takes the little baby, Jesus. Simeon is old. He has been waiting for so many years. He's drawn to this child by the Holy Spirit. Lord, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, your rescuer, Jesus Christ. John's first letter again. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. There is therefore no fear in love. The prodigal son is on his way back home. He's deeply fearful of the reaction of his father at the critical moment when they meet again. He has prepared his little speech. He knows he cannot be a son anymore. He has wasted his inheritance. But the father embraces him. "My son, you're back. You were lost, but now you're found. You were dead, but you're alive again." "What? Just like this? Are there no consequences? No punishment?" "There are. There is. The hands which embrace the prodigal, which embrace me, the one unable to love purely, these hands are marked by scars. Scars from the nails that held him on the cross. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished." The price of lovelessness is paid by the one who loved us first. No deposit required. A grace that meets us without preconditions, without a prenuptial, no credit check. A love that loved us first. We love because he loved us first. Our English language is impoverished because the word love has to cover so many different shades of meaning. The biblical word used here, agape, is a selfless, self-giving, sacrificial love, a Christ-shaped love. And suddenly, this love poem, 1 Corinthians 13, is transformed. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. He does not insist on it on his own way. He's not irritable or resentful. Jesus does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How do we become a more Christ-like church? That's the question we're asking at the moment. By receiving his unconditional love for us. By letting his love reach down to our hard, bruised, hurting, calloused places, softening our defenses, beginning to transform us. But of course, this takes humility. I cannot love like this, Jesus. I first need to receive your love for me. And because you don't request an equally pure love from me as a precondition, the transformation can begin. And so I read 1 Corinthians 13 again, but now with hope. Tom Wright recommends 3 steps as we read this passage. Firstly, I read it by replacing the word love with Jesus. We've just done it. And I ask, how do I see these qualities in Jesus? I immerse myself in Jesus' story, his life, his teaching, again and again. Secondly, I put my name in. I rejoice where I can see echoes of this pure love in my life. I note where I fall short, but this time without despair or fear. Because thirdly, I ask, if I were like that, what would that look like practically in my everyday life? I do this prayerfully as I read it, vividly, repeatedly. And then when a similar situation arises, I've already imagined it, prepared for it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can love like that, to a degree. Tom Wright says, this life is within reach of each one of us because it is the life of Jesus, the life inspired by the Spirit, the life which is our birthright within the body of the Messiah. I know I will stumble. I know I will fail. But when I remember how Jesus stumbled under the weight of the cross, I remember how he said, "It is finished." And with that, I dismiss the mocking voice whispering in my ear, "You are not good enough for that love. You'll never be good enough for this kind of love." Instead, I hear a different tune. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. By the way, this apprenticeship of love cannot be worked out in isolation, in a sterile lab environment. It must be worked out in community. And that's why 1 Corinthians 13 is sandwiched between Paul's teaching on the church, the body of Christ, which we thought about last week. And that is truly good news, because learning to love so deeply, so purely, it's not just for romantic lovers. Jesus offers this apprenticeship to all of us. Finally, a musical scale. Bom, 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 bom. I didn't prepare the choir. Shall we try that again? Mine is this. Bom, 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 bom. Thank you, choir. Something was wrong with my scale. Something was missing. It wasn't resolved. We longed for the final note that the choir very kindly provided. If they hadn't done that, it would leave us restless. Something's missing. And so it is with 1 Corinthians 13 love. Because the call to imitate Christ's perfect love will always be an unfinished scale in this life. It points to the final resolution and fulfillment in God's perfect future. In Jesus, God's future has already burst into our present reality. And now we are called to walk with him into his future. One day, he'll come back and he will complete the scale as the choir I've just completed my imperfect scale. A Christ-like church is transformed by the selfless, self-giving love of Christ, and then begins to offer him to our world. Let's pray. Lord, I receive your love for me. For all of me. Thank you for brothers and sisters in the church who are apprentices with me. Together we trust that in all weakness, we can show something of your perfect love to those you send us to, because your Holy Spirit is transforming us. Amen.